I trust that you, in your own comfort of your homes tonight, were singing that and you were able to sing it unto the Lord. Even think of that second verse there. It says, "Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood." Hallelujah, what a Saviour. Let us come now and approach the throne of grace and mercy. Let us come in opening prayer tonight and just seek the Lord's help even as we come to study his word. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the opportunity to come along here and to bring the word. We thank thee, Lord, for help given this morning, even in the drive-in service. We pray, Lord, as the word went forth, Lord, that souls would even be spoken to, Lord, that the believers here, Lord, would have been encouraged in their own hearts. We pray again, Lord, tonight for a sense of thy presence. We long, Lord, for you to be here and to be one of our number. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would even just come alongside the people as they're in their home, as they're wherever they're watching this service online. And we pray, Lord, that they will know the sense of thy presence. We thank thee again tonight for the blood of Christ. We thank thee for that blood that was shed on Calvary's tree. We thank thee, Lord, that through the shedding of thy blood there is remission of sin. And we pray tonight, Lord, that if there be any in listening online, Lord, that know thee is not as Lord and Saviour, that thou would speak especially to their hearts. That thou would draw thyself unto them, Lord, and thou would show them Calvary tonight. Show them thy cross and thy suffering. Show them, Lord, the handprints, the nail prints in thy hand. And, O Lord, may they be drawn even graciously in unto thee tonight. We pray, Lord, and thank thee that thou art the great God of heaven. We thank thee that thou art in heaven tonight as our great intercessor and high priest. And we thank thee, Lord, even that we can come to thee in this means of prayer at any time. And, O Lord, thou art a God who answers prayer. We pray, Lord, even tonight as the broadcast will go out, that thou would just give me help, Lord, that thou would help me even in the preaching of the word. We pray and think of the Reverend Foster also, Lord. We pray for his family. We pray for his wife and his children. That thou would just bless them at this time. Thou would comfort them even all the days of their life. We pray for the Reverend Foster as he preaches away in Auchnacloy tonight. That thou would give him much liberty, Lord, in the preaching of the word. Help him even to know thy help and to know thy nearness even as he's there preaching, Lord, to an empty church. We pray that you would give him travelling mercies also on his way home, Lord. Take him to his home in safety as well. We pray, Lord, even for all aspects of the meeting here tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for all who come to even do the sound, Lord, and that we have this means, Lord, that we can broadcast. We pray, Lord, and we do miss, Lord, public worship, but we understand with this virus and this lockdown, Lord, that this is the way it is. But, Lord, we pray for our nation tonight, Lord. We long for a visitation from thee. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to their hearts, that you would draw them even unto thyself, Lord, that they would see their need of Christ tonight. Lord, that they would see that they're on the way to the road to hell, Lord, and without Christ, Lord, there is no hope. And we pray, Lord, even just tonight that thou would speak and that thou would revive the hearts of many in our nation. O Lord, our nation has turned thy back on thee, but O Lord, thou can turn them again. Lord, thou can bring them unto thyself. We pray for our NHS tonight. We pray for our hospital staff, our doctors, our nurses, all of those in the front line, Lord, who are even doing their very best, Lord, to keep the hospital admissions down. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with them, you'd comfort them. O Lord, continue here tonight. Bless us, Lord, we pray, in the singing of thy hymns, Lord, in the reading of the scriptures, and even in the preaching of thy word. O Lord, hide man behind the cross tonight. May none be seen save Jesus Christ. O Lord, continue with us. Bless us, we pray. For these things we ask in the Saviour's most worthy name. Amen. We're going to sing a second item of praise tonight. So even where you are in your homes, we're going to sing hymn 219. Hymn 219 is a great hymn of exhortation here. And the first verse goes like this. It is, "A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and light. The master made answer in words true and plain, 'He must be born again.'"
Amen. Let's all stand to sing.
He must be born.
And I trust that as you even sung that hymn in your house tonight, that you can sing those words in your heart and that you are born again. At this point in the meeting now, I will ask you if you have a Bible in your home to turn to the Word of God tonight. And we're going to turn to that very portion that second hymn was based upon in John chapter 3. Turn with me, please, in your New Testament to John chapter 3. John's Gospel, the fourth Gospel in the New Testament. We're going to begin at verse number 1, and we're going to read together the first 17 verses of John chapter 3, just to get really the context of what we're going to be even discussing tonight. So John chapter 3, I'm beginning to read at the verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. We trust and would ask even the Lord's help, even in the reading of thy word. Let us now come and seek the Lord's face in a further word of prayer. Let us pray unto him now before the preaching of the word. Let's pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee, Lord, for thy word tonight. We thank thee for the Bible. We thank you that we have it in our mother tongue, that we can even read it, that we can pick it up from wherever it may be in our homes. Now, Lord, there is much truth in it. There is much for correction. There is much for teaching for us tonight. We pray, Lord, even as we've looked at this glorious portion in John chapter 3, that we would see Christ afresh in the Scriptures, that we would see nothing of man tonight, that my words would fall to the ground and be as nothing, but, O Lord, that you would only see Christ tonight and that he would be exalted, that your great name would be glorified above all things. We pray tonight, if there be any who listen in tonight and aren't saved, that thou would speak especially unto them, Lord, that I would convict them, that thou would show them their need of Christ tonight, and that they would be drawn effectually unto thee and be saved. So, Lord, continue with us. Bless us now. Help, Lord, we pray. These things we ask in thy most precious name. Amen. Amen. Now, the portion of Scripture that we have read this evening, it records for us what I believe to be one of the most interesting encounters in all of Scripture. It is between a man by the name of Nicodemus and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is the first time in Scripture that we read of this man, Nicodemus. And he's only mentioned a further two times in the whole of our Bible, in John chapter 7 and John chapter 19. And from the opening words here in John chapter 3 and the verse 1, we learn much about this man Nicodemus. It tells us there in the words that he was a man of the Pharisees. He was a ruler of the Jews. And along with the Sadducees, the Pharisees, they made up the primary religious parties in Jerusalem. Both of these, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they made up the positions in the Sanhedrin. Now, the Sanhedrin, it was the Jewish Supreme Court, where all judicial matters had to be settled. And Nicodemus here, being a Pharisee, being a ruler of the Jews, he would have no doubt have been a member of this body. And therefore he would have had and commanded the respect of the people. And as descendants of Abraham, the Pharisees, they believed that their heritage and that their keeping of the law as laid out in the Ten Commandments, they believed that this was sufficient for God's approval and acceptance. They could be described as a self-righteous people, a people steeped in legalism. And what I mean by that term legalism simply is that the Pharisees, they invented hundreds of man-made laws. And they did this in order to make a hedge round about God's law, in order to ensure that God's law was never broken. And this, they believed, made them acceptable unto God. Yet why tonight then do I say that this is one of the most interesting encounters in all of Scripture? Well, look with me tonight at John chapter 3 and the verse number 2. For it tells us here that this self-righteous, that this leader of the Pharisees, this important member of the Sanhedrin, he sought to seek an audience with Jesus Christ. Even more interestingly than that is that he is said to have come at night. And this, to me, in reading this, it poses a very obvious question. Why did he wait until it was nighttime? Why did he not come during the day? Why did he wait until the cover of darkness? Now, we cannot say for certain, but it is believed that he did so because he didn't want his meeting with Jesus Christ to be made public knowledge. You know, what would the people think if they had seen Nicodemus? How would this look? How would this man's reputation have been damaged by seeking an audience with Jesus Christ? In John chapter 2, the previous chapter here in verse 23, we see that Nicodemus, he would have been present at the Passover feast, and he would have therefore have been witness to the miracles that Jesus performed on that occasion. And so, desiring to know more about that, Nicodemus here in verse 2, he seeks an audience with Christ at night. He seeks an audience with Christ at night and declares that because of these miracles, that he must be a teacher come from God. For let us read this verse together. John chapter 3 in the verse 2 says, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him." I want us to notice those words there. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. But he doesn't say that he is God. He doesn't recognize God. He doesn't recognize Jesus Christ as God. Now, I believe that Nicodemus, he came that night to Christ to be rewarded, to get a pat on the back, if you like, for all of those good things that he had done, for all of his keeping of the law. Yet Christ does no such thing. Rather, he rebukes Nicodemus here. He tells him that he needed to be born again if he was ever to enter the kingdom of God. And so, with that said tonight, for the remainder of this meeting, I want us to just simply focus on this man Nicodemus. This man Nicodemus and his meeting with Christ, in what I am simply calling this evening Nicodemus's Night of Redemption. Nicodemus's Night of Redemption. And we're going to look specifically tonight at John chapter 3 in the verse 7. This will be my text for this evening. It says, "There marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. There are three things that I want us to see here in this verse in John chapter 3 and verse 7. The first thing we'll notice is this statement to Nicodemus. There is a clear statement to Nicodemus given here in the words of John 3 and the verse 7. For he says here, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now this appeal here to be born again, it is first recorded for us in a previous verse there in John chapter 3 and the verse 3. And Jesus Christ, he gives this response in verse 3 in response to what has taken place in the first two verses. For John chapter 3 and the verse 3 reads like this. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now in the introduction this evening we noted that Nicodemus, verily, verily, the word again here means anew, it means from above. And therefore we could read it like this, except a man be born from above, he cannot see and he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And Christ here in these words, he is not speaking about Nicodemus' natural or his physical birth, but he is speaking of the spiritual birth that all men must have if they are to enter into heaven. And for Nicodemus here, this was key, because this meant that his stature, his standing in his society, the fact that he was a religious leader, all of his good works, they would not save him, and they would not make him right, they would not make him fit to enter into heaven. And you know what, right now in this meeting, even in the comfort of your own homes, this same message is being given to you tonight. If you're listening in tonight and like Nicodemus, you are relying on your standing in society, you are relying on who you are, Christ, he gives this same message to you tonight, that you too need to be born again. You may be sitting in tonight and thinking to yourself, why is this man saying that I need to be born again? You know, what is wrong with my birth? Well, quite simply, the answer is because of your sin. Because of the fall of mankind in the Garden of Eden. Because of your man's disobedience to the command of God. All mankind fell into sin and needed to be saved from this sin. The Bible tells us in many passages that we are all born corrupt. We're all born in sin. We're all shaped in iniquity. And that this sin, it needs to be dealt with if any are ever to enter into the kingdom of God. Read with me here the words in John chapter 3 and the verse 4. For we note here the confusion of Nicodemus. You know, Nicodemus here, he cannot understand what Christ is saying. He says here in verse 4, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb? In verse 5 he says, "Verily, and of the Spirit." It's very important that we make note of this word water here. There are many today who will teach water baptism salvation, who will teach that you can be saved by the waters of baptism. And they will often refer to this verse here in John chapter 3 and the verse 5 as their proof text. Yet the Bible knows no such thing. The Bible tells us nothing of salvation by baptism. The Bible tells us that we are saved by the precious blood of Christ. And by these words here in John chapter 3 and verse 5, Christ is not speaking about baptism through water. He is speaking and referring to the Old Testament Jewish traditions of the cleansing and of the renewing power of the Spirit. And I want to show you this tonight. So if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the Old Testament. Turn with me to the book of Ezekiel and to Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36, please. And we're going to read verses 25, 26, and 27. It says there in verse 25, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Now, as a Bible scholar here, as a leader of the Jews, Nicodemus, he would have surely have been familiar with these teachings. He would have been familiar with the teachings here in the book of Ezekiel. And Christ here, by referring Nicodemus back to this passage, he is making it clear to Nicodemus that salvation requires the supernatural work of the Spirit in a sinner's heart. That this new birth that Christ is speaking of, it can only be attained by faith in Jesus Christ and his sacrifice upon the cross of Calvary. Now, this thought of the new birth here, it was an issue for all men. It is an issue for all men. But it was also a personal one for Nicodemus. For notice the language here in John chapter 3 and verse 7. It says, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." And this morning we made note of this little word "ye" here. And we noted that it was in the plural form. And therefore in this verse Christ is saying that all need to be born again. But Christ here, he also includes Nicodemus in this. Because note with me the word here, "thee." "Marvel not that I said unto thee." The word "thee" here, it is in the singular. And therefore he is speaking personally to Nicodemus. He's saying here, "Marvel not that I say unto you, Nicodemus, all men must be born again. Even you too, Nicodemus. Even you with all of your religiosity, with your high standing in society, you are included in this, and you too need to be born again." And surely Christ here in these words is making it personal to each and every one of us tonight. For each and every one of us need to experience this spiritual rebirth. Each and every one of us need to be born again if you are ever to enter into the kingdom of God. We've seen this evening the statement to Nicodemus. But secondly, I want us to see here in the verse the surprise of Nicodemus. The surprise of Nicodemus. Look with me here at verse number 7. And look at those two words at the start of the verse. Christ says here, "Marvel not." Marvel not, Nicodemus. You know, after hearing all that had been told him by Christ, Nicodemus here would have surely been in a state of utter shock. I do not doubt that he would have felt like the walls were closing in around him. You know, Christ here is seen to be challenging everything that he has ever known. All that he had worked toward, all that he was telling Nicodemus here. "Nicodemus, your faith-based religion, your good character, your good deeds, all of these will avail for nothing unless you experience this spiritual rebirth, unless you are born again." And to Nicodemus, who was a religious leader, a Pharisee, you could say this tonight, by all outward appearances, how Nicodemus looked on the outside, he would have looked a godly man. By all outward appearances, he would have been surely worthy of entering the kingdom of God. And on top of these things, he has his heritage. He was a descendant of Abraham. Yet Christ tells Nicodemus here, "I am not concerned with your outward appearance. It's not important here, Nicodemus. What is important here tonight is your inward appearance. It is your heart that I am concerned with, Nicodemus." In Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the prophet Jeremiah says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And Christ here is saying to Nicodemus, your heart is sinful. By the fall of mankind, you are corrupt. By your very birth, you are a sinner. And unless you experience this spiritual rebirth, unless your heart is changed, unless you look to me tonight in faith as the only redeemer of the human race, then as you are, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. And you know, surely by this point in their meeting, in their exchange, Nicodemus would have been in utter despair. Note with me the words in verse 9, for Nicodemus asks the question here, how can these things be? How can these things be? To which Christ replies there in verse 10, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Christ here again is challenging Nicodemus' very standing as a master in Israel. Surely if you are who you say you are, then what I'm saying to you tonight, Nicodemus, it should not come as a surprise to you. If you've read your Old Testament, if you've studied it properly, if you've understood it like you claim you have, then what I am telling you, you should be familiar with it. Oh, you call me rabbi here, you call me a teacher from God, yet you cannot grasp what I am telling you, even with all your religiosity. You have a faith, Nicodemus, that is based on works. It's based on your good deeds, and those good deeds, those works, they will not save you. Your religion will not save you. Your standing in society will not save you. But know that only by recognizing that you are a sinner and that you cannot save yourself, you can do nothing to save yourself. And only by looking to me in true faith, only by looking to me as I would go to the cross of Calvary, can you enter the kingdom of God. And you know, perhaps as you've been listening in tonight, as you've been listening to the meeting here, maybe you're thinking to yourself, why is he saying this? Why is he telling me all of these things? You know, I'm listening in tonight. I go to church from time to time. And I'm a good person. Is that not enough? You know, I do all of these things. Surely that is enough for me to get into heaven. Well, the Bible tells us quite clearly in Romans chapter 3 and the verse 10 that there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none that do anything right. Isaiah chapter 64 and the verse 6 tells us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. All what we deem to be right, they are but filthy rags in the sight of God. And therefore, like Nicodemus Christ, he is saying to you tonight, you must be born again. All of those things that you are doing in your life to earn your way to heaven, they are of no use. Unless you're born again of the Spirit, unless you're regenerated in your heart, unless Christ saves you, unless you stop relying on what you can do and start trusting in what Christ has already done on the cross of Calvary, then you will never enter into heaven. We've seen tonight the statement, Nicodemus. We've seen, secondly, the surprise of Nicodemus. But thirdly, tonight I want to show you from this passage the stipulation given to Nicodemus. We see the stipulation given to Nicodemus here. We've been considering these words already, but look at the end of John chapter 3 and the verse 7. The stipulation here is, ye must be born again. This word must here, it's a very important word. For it speaks here of the necessity of the situation. It is not just a case of you can do this if you want, Nicodemus, but rather you must do this. You must be born again. It's not just a simple yes or no choice. It is a necessity, Nicodemus. If you do not do this, if you do not get saved, if you are not born again, then you will never enter the kingdom of God. We find this word must here again used later on in the chapter, in John chapter 3 and the verse 14. Christ here, he relays the Old Testament narrative to Nicodemus of the brazen serpent that is found for us in Numbers chapter 21 and the verse 9. John 3 and verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And again here, in these words, Christ is pointing Nicodemus to what he knows. Because as a master in Israel, this account in the book of Numbers, again from the Old Testament, it would have been familiar to him, surely. You know, the sins of the people of Israel there, they had brought about these deadly snake bites. And the only remedy to these bites was found in looking up to faith at this serpent of brass that was held before them by Moses. And by bringing Nicodemus' attention to this account, I believe Christ is revealing himself to Nicodemus as being God. He is showing Nicodemus that he is that Messiah who was foretold in the Old Testament who would bring about the salvation of his people. You know, as we read those words tonight, there, those very humbling words it says here, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Surely as we read those words tonight, our hearts and our minds were drawn to think of the cross. We're drawn to think of the sacrifice that Christ had made for sin. And Christ here, he is urging Nicodemus to look up to him in faith, rather than looking to himself, rather than looking in what he could do. You know, if Nicodemus would only confess that night that he was a sinner, only he confessed that he is incapable of saving himself, and if only he would look to Christ, then he would receive the forgiveness of his sins and he would be saved. I just want to share one final thought with you here tonight regarding this faith. And it's found for us in these marvelous words in John chapter 3 and the verse 15. Note the words here with me together. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. You know, here in these words tonight, we have the message of the gospel. The plain and simple message that if you look to Christ in faith, which is possible by the new birth, by the regenerating work of the Holy Ghost in your heart, then Christ says here, you will not perish. You will not be confined to the depths of hell for your sin, but you will be guaranteed an eternal home in heaven with God. You know, when Nicodemus came that night to seek an audience with Christ, I don't believe he surely could have imagined what would have went on that night. You know, Nicodemus no doubt came thinking that he had all the answers. He thought he had already secured his own salvation by his works, yet Christ told him otherwise. You know, Nicodemus, he would never have forgotten this encounter with Christ. He would never have forgotten that meeting with Christ for the rest of his life. And as we go on to read about Nicodemus later on in the Gospel of John, we see him there in John chapter 19, in the verse 39. He's at the tomb of the Saviour. This is after the death of Christ. And Nicodemus is there. As he gazed at the body of Christ there, surely, I believe Nicodemus' mind, it would have been transported back to that very night where Christ told him that he needed to be born again. Would he not have rejoiced that night in his own heart, even as he had taken that step of faith, even as he had heeded those words of Christ who said he must be born again? You know, this account in John chapter 3, it highlights the result of one who has been visited by God. It shows us how Nicodemus' whole life, it was utterly transformed by a single meeting with Christ. And you know what? This is what an experience with Christ can do for an individual. You know, it will change your life. It will transform your life. You know, as we close here tonight our gospel meeting, surely we have had the same opportunity that Nicodemus had. Yes, we may be in our homes tonight. We may be sitting around screens wherever we are tonight. But surely Christ has been with us throughout. Surely Christ has been with us in this meeting tonight. Christ has promised in his word that where the two or three are gathered together in my name, there he will be in the midst of them. Maybe you're listening in tonight and like Nicodemus, you think you have all the answers. Your faith is based on what you have done and not on what Christ has done. You believe that what you have done will be enough to secure your place in heaven when you die. Well, Christ, he is seeking an audience with you tonight, unsaved friend, and he is telling you to think again. No, Christ, he makes it clear in the words of John chapter 3 tonight that salvation is not of works. Because if it had have been of work, surely this man Nicodemus, surely he would have been at the front of the queue. But no, rather, Christ is telling us with the words of verse 7 tonight. The only way you can enter into the kingdom of heaven, quite simply, you must be born again. Amen. And we'll just close our meeting now with a word of prayer. Let us pray even unto God now. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for the challenge to our own hearts, Lord. We thank thee, Lord, that we have this great gospel truth. Oh, Lord, that you must be born again. And we pray tonight, especially, Lord, if any be in listening online who are not saved, who know thee is not Lord and Saviour, that they would heed this warning, that they would take this warning to their hearts tonight, and they would do as Nicodemus did. They would be born again. They would seek Christ in faith and repentance, that they would call upon his name tonight. Oh Lord, even where they are tonight in their comfort of their own homes, may they seek Christ tonight. May they pray to Christ tonight and ask Christ to save them. We pray and thank thee, Lord, for help given tonight. We thank thee, Lord, that thou hast been one of our number. And we pray, Lord, even as we close public worship tonight, that thou would continue to be with us. Bless us this evening in our homes. We pray for the week ahead that you would be our portion and our stay. Lord, that we would sense even thy presence day by day, that you would help us in all things. Lord, you know what this week will hold for each and every one of us. And we just pray, Lord, that thy will be done. Thy will be done for us as on earth as it is in heaven. And we pray, Lord, now that you would just even part us with your blessing, part us in your fear and in your glory. For we ask these things in Jesus' most worthy name. Amen. Amen.